This is IBM, the Islamic Broadcasting Network. The following program is sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet.
This is The Life of Muhammad with your host, Sheikh Anwar Al Awlaqi, Imam of Dar Al Hijra Islamic Center.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, sliman kathira. Continuing with the response of the people of Quraysh towards the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we talked about a few. We'll continue with the rest. Number 8, they would try to put Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam under pressure. They were persistent. They would never give up. They would keep on trying every method, including using his close uncle Abu Talib to pressure him. In this narration we have over here, Aqil, the son of Abu Talib, he narrates and says that the people of Quraysh, they came to Abu Talib and they told him, this nephew of yours is disrupting and disturbing us in our meetings and in our mosque. So they considered the da'wah of Rasulullah ﷺ to be disruption. So tell him to stay away from us. Abu Talib told Aqil, go and call Muhammad for me. So Aqil said, I found him in Kenas. Kenas means a very small room or a tent. And it was noontime, very hot in Mecca. So Rasulullah ﷺ came to meet his uncle Abu Talib. So his uncle Abu Talib told him that your people are complaining and saying that you are disrupting them and you are disturbing them in their meetings. So why don't you stop? And Abu Talib was not speaking to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a tone of an order, do this, but he was telling him as an advice, it's better, you know, so that you would not harm or have your people upset. How about if you stop disturbing them or disrupting their meetings? In a very kind way. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Abu Talib, Rasulullah, he looked at the sky and he pointed it to the sun and told Abu Talib, oh my uncle, do you see the sun? He said, yes. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I am no more capable of stopping that than you are of getting me a flame from it. In other words, it's impossible for me to stop this. Just like it is impossible for you to get a flame from the sun. This is part of me. Da'wah is my life. Spreading Islam is my mission. I cannot give it up. It's impossible. And you must have heard of the narration where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, if they put the sun in my right hand and the moon in my left hand, I would not give up this matter until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala judges or I lose my life. That is a weaker narration, but we find the same meaning in the strong narration. That no matter what, I will continue with this mission. His uncle told him, oh my nephew, you are telling the truth. I believe you. Go ahead and continue. So Abu Talib was telling Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I believe you that you cannot give this up. Go ahead and I will support you. Do what Allah has told you to do. We see from this that the people of Quraysh are using every method to try to sway Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they would never give up. I mean, even when Rasulullah ﷺ told the Sahaba, and we're going to talk about that next, when the Messenger of Allah told the Sahaba to go to Al-Habashi, to Abyssinia, so that they could flee from the persecution Still, Quraysh weren't satisfied with that, and they sent a delegation to ask Al-Najashi to turn the Muslims over. Why? Were the Muslims in Abyssinia any threat to Quraysh politically? No. Were they a threat economically? No. So what is the reason Quraysh are so persistent in following the Muslims even though the Muslims left them alone? So the issue here, even if Rasulullah ﷺ would have stopped, they wouldn't have left Rasulullah ﷺ alone. The people of Quraysh wanted to stop this message by all means possible. And if you would leave them alone, they won't leave you alone.
Inshallah ta'ala, we'll take a break and we'll be back. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ibn Umar, may God be pleased with them both, said, the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, said, O people, indeed you will die and you will go to God. May God have mercy on a servant who talked and earned goodness, or kept quiet and stayed safe. Indeed, the tongue controls the person more than anything else. Surely, all the humans talk is against him except the remembrance of God, or bidding good, or forbidding evil, or making peace between the believers is for him. Mu'adh, may God be pleased with him, said, O Messenger of God, will we be judged by what we say? He, peace and blessings be upon him, said, Is there anything which throws people into hell except the harvest of their tongues? He who wants to be safe, he should control what his tongue says, and guard his heart, and do good deeds, and limit his hopes. A few days later, the following verse was revealed. There is no good in much of their secret conferences save in who enjoins almsgiving, or kindness, or peacemaking among the people. Whoso does that, seeking the good pleasure of God, we shall bestow on him a vast reward.
Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Welcome back.
Number 9, jealousy and hatred. Al-Walid ibn Mughira, one of the elders of Quraysh, he said, if Allah wanted to choose a prophet, how come he didn't choose me? I am more wealthy and wise, older than Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there was a similar claim made by a man in a Taif. Now the two prominent towns of Hijaz were Mecca and a Taif. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayah.
وَقَالُوا لَوْلَا نُزِّلَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنُ عَلَىٰ رَجُلٍ مِّنَ الْقَرْيَتَيْنِ عَظِيمٍ.
Why wasn't this Qur'an revealed to a great man from one of the two towns? Referring to Mecca and the Ta'if. Al-Mughira bin Shu'bah, who was from a Ta'if, he was visiting Mecca. And he said, and this hadith is narrated by Al-Bayhaqi, Al-Mughira bin Shu'bah said, my first contact with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam happened one day when I was walking with Abu Jahl in the streets of Mecca. And we ran into Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he walked up to us and he spoke to Abu Jahl and said, why don't you follow me? Believe in Allah, believe in Islam. He was giving Abu Jahl da'wah. Abu Jahl responded by saying, oh Muhammad, when are you going to stop cursing our gods? If you want us to testify that you have fulfilled your mission, we will testify for you. And if I knew that you were telling the truth, I would have already followed you. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam left. The meaning of the words of Abu Jahl, if you want us to testify that you have fulfilled the message, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was telling them again and again that my role is to convey a message. It is not my role to convert you. That is up to Allah. All what I want to do is to fulfill my mission. So Abu Jahl was saying, if you want us to witness for you in front of Allah, we'll do so. We'll tell Allah that you have done your job. But just leave us alone. Because if I knew that you were telling the truth, I would have already followed you. So Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam left. Al-Mughira said, Abu Jahl looked at me and said, I know that he's saying the truth. But there's something holding me back. The descendants of Qusay said, we want to have hijabah. Remember, these are the honors of Quraysh, the power and the authority of Quraysh. We talked about it when we talked about Qusay ibn Kulab, if you remember. Al-hijabah and siqaya, nadwa. Nadwa means the assembly of Quraysh. Al-hijabah is the guardianship of al-Kaaba. Siqaya and rifad is providing the pilgrims with food and water. And the lua is the banner of war. So Abu Jahl said, I know that this man is telling the truth, but there's something holding me back. The descendants of Qusay said, we want the authority of al-Nadwa. We gave it to them. We want the authority of hijabah. We gave it to them. We want the authority of al-Lua. We gave it to them. We want the authority of Rifada and Siqaya. We gave it to them. And now when we started picking up and competing with them, and we were running neck to neck, they come up and say that we have a prophet among us. How can we compete with that? By God, we're never going to accept this. Abu Jahl is saying that this is a matter of competition, power struggle between us and the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They have been given all of the authorities of Mecca, and now we want to catch up with them, compete with them. We can compete with them in providing for the pilgrims and things like that, but we can't compete in prophethood. None of us can compete with the Qur'an that has been given to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we're never going to admit that that's the truth. Because if we do, that means that they would have won against us. So it's a matter of power and authority. So you can see the element of jealousy and hatred and not willing to give up power. And that's why you would find again and again in Qur'an that usually the ones who are the most outspoken and violent in their rejection of the message of the prophets are the ones in authority, the people in power. Why? Because they feel that this is a message that will change the status quo and will strip us from our abilities to take advantage of others and to enslave others. This is a religion that will free people from worshipping people into worshipping Allah. And these are referred to in Qur'an as al-mala. Whenever you would have al-mala in Qur'an, it is referring to the leadership. وَقَالَ الْمَلَأُ مِنْ قَوْمِهِ. And this comes up with Fir'aun, it comes up with the people of Ad, Salih. You'd find that it is al-mala.
Inshallah ta'ala, we'll take a break and we'll be back. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Muhammad, the messenger of God, peace and blessings be upon him, said, the world is a prison for the believer, a paradise for a rejecter of faith. The one who believes in God believes in the hereafter and thus believes in its eternality. That believer knows then that this life is a temporal station for which he or she is transported to their destination. They long to meet their Lord and hope for success in meeting him. One who is a rejecter of God is likened to the one who is a farmer who has a handful of seeds and proceeds to put those seeds into the earth, covering them with dirt. The rejecter of God is only different in that they are covering the seed of truth. They believe that this world is it, that there is no hereafter, and therefore take it for their paradise. Along those lines, the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, said, be in the world as if you were a stranger or a wayfarer. Again, the believer longs to meet his Lord, so he sees this world as a prison and therefore acts like a stranger in it. He is a traveler on a journey to the hereafter, striving for his destination.
Sallallahu alayhi wasallam.
Welcome back.
10. Persecution. Now, even though Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was insulted and harmed and false accusations were directed towards him, he was not persecuted. And that is part of the protection of the protection of Allah towards Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has protected Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the early years through his uncle Abu Talib. And later on, they would try to assassinate him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would protect him, even though his uncle Abu Talib has passed away. So, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wasn't really persecuted, but it was his followers who were persecuted. And this was the opinion of Ibn Ishaq. He states that. He said that Allah has protected Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because of his love of his messenger, and Allah has protected him through his uncle Abu Talib. These are the words of Ibn Ishaq. But the persecution of the followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to hurt the messenger of Allah a lot, because he cared about them so much. And pretty much all of them went through one form of persecution or another. In one statement of Ibn Ishaq, he says that أَلْبَسُوهُمْ أَدْرَاعَ الْحَدِيدِ وَصَهَرُوهُمْ فِي الشَّمْسِ. They would wrap them up in shields of iron and leave them in the sun to burn. So they would clothe them in shields of iron, steel, and they would leave them in the hot sun of Mecca. Now, the strongest among the Sahaba in his response in fighting the persecution was Bilal bin Rabah radiallahu anhu. The more they would persecute him, the stronger he would become. He was asked, how come when you were punished and tortured, you would say, Ahadun Ahad. Allah is one, Allah is one. How come you chose that slogan? Bilal said, because I found out that when I would say Ahadun Ahad, it would make them the angriest. This statement would anger them the most. And that is why I would say Ahadun Ahad. So Bilal wasn't looking for a way to reduce the punishment. He didn't care. And the statement of Ibn Ishaq is ba'a nafsahu lillah, that he sold himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He gave up his life to Allah. He would say Ahadun Ahad, and Umayyah ibn Khalaf would become angry and would add the punishment, and Bilal would only say it louder. Wouldn't give up. Now they went through different forms of torture, and the torture was not only limited to the slaves and servants, but even some of the nobility were tortured. Uthman ibn Affan, belonging to one of the noblest families of Quraysh, Banu Umayyah, he was wrapped in a carpet, and then they would jump over him and crush him inside that carpet. And you're familiar with some of the stories of persecution that happened to the slaves, like what happened to Sumayyah and her husband and her son. Yasir and Sumayyah were both killed under the severe tormenting of Abu Jahl. In one narration it states that Abu Jahl struck Sumayyah with a spear in her private parts until he killed her. And all of this was becoming so much on Sayyidina Ammar radiallahu anhu. It's a combination of psychological pain and physical pain. Physical pain because of the tormenting he was going through, plus seeing his mother and father go through this severe punishment and sad ending. Ammar ibn Yasir buckled under this pressure and he spoke some words against Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, when he woke up from the pain, he went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sad and sorry for what has happened, and he narrated the incident to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed an ayah dealing with that particular situation, saying that one is excused to speak some words with the tongue under this torture if the heart is confident with faith. If the heart is firm on iman and has yaqeen, it is okay for a person to speak, because لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not overburden a person. This is unbearable pain that Ammar ibn Yasir was going through. So this persecution continued with almost all of the Sahaba, with a few exceptions, the ones who had some strong backing of their families and had some sympathy from some of their non-believing relatives. Now the severest in his punishment, and the one who would actually mobilize the people of Quraysh, was Abu Jahl. He was their leader in evil. Ibn Ishaq states, that sinner Abu Jahl was the one who incited the men of Quraysh against them. When he heard of a man of status and influence who had accepted Islam, he would upbraid and insult him, saying, "You have abandoned the religion of your father, a man better than you. We will depreciate your values, deride your opinions, and destroy your reputation." If the Muslim were a merchant, he would say, "We will by God boycott doing business with you, and we will ruin you." If the Muslim was defenseless, Abu Jahl would beat him up and incite others against him. May Allah damn and punish him. So Abu Jahl was the spearhead of the effort of Quraysh against the Muslims in Mecca. Number 11, forgot to mention Umar bin Khattab. Umar bin Khattab, he had a slave girl that he would torture. And sometimes he would stop. And to show you his personality, Umar bin Khattab, when he would stop, he would tell her, "Don't think that I'm giving you a break because I'm having sympathy on you. The only reason why I stopped is because I'm tired. Otherwise, I would continue." But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yahdi man yasha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides whomever He wills. 11. When the attempts of Quraysh of character assassinations failed, they attempted to assassinate the character. They tried to destroy the message by distorting the image of the messenger. When that didn't work, they tried to eliminate the messenger. And these attempts occurred after Abu Talib passed away. They knew that they have no way of assassinating Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam during the life of Abu Talib. But when he passed away, they attempted to assassinate him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَإِذْ يَمْكُرُ بِكَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِيُثْبِتُوكَ أَوْ يَقْتُلُوكَ أَوْ يُخْرِجُوكَ وَيَمْكُرُونَ وَيَمْكُرُ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they attempted to drive you out of your land, to imprison you, and to kill you. So the attempts were made, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would protect him, and we'll talk about one of these attempts when we talk about Hijrah. So these were the various methods that the people of Quraysh used at one time or another during the era of Mecca. What was the response of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How would he respond to all of this? In al-Bukhari, Khabbab ibn al-Arat, who was one of the Sahaba who went through a lot, he went to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam while the Messenger of Allah was leaning his back towards Al-Kaaba, and he walked up to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, "Ya Rasulullah, ala tad'u lana, ala tastansiru lana." O Messenger of Allah, why don't you make dua for us? That's all what he said. But the message implies that we are going through a lot. Why don't you ask Allah to ease the pain that we're going through? And Khabbab ibn al-Arat was going through a lot himself. One day later on, when Umar bin Khattab was the Khalifa, Umar was asking all of the people around to talk about their experiences in Mecca. What did you go through? So when the term came on Khabbab bin al-Arat, he didn't speak. All what he did was lift his shirt and expose his back. That's it. Umar bin Khattab said, "I have never seen something like this. What happened to you?" Khabbab ibn al-Arat had deep holes, deep black holes in his back. He said, "When I was in Mecca, the people of Quraysh would bring some rocks and burn them over fire, some small rocks, and they would burn them on fire until they turn red. And then they would lay them on the hot sand in the desert of Mecca, and they would throw me on top of it. So these rocks would burn through my flesh. They would burn through my flesh. And I would hear the burning of my flesh and I would smell my fat. Grease is burning." He said, "I would smell the smoke coming off from my back." So Khabbab al-Arat had something to complain about. This was severe pain that he was going through. And all what he asked for is, Ya Rasulullah, la tansansuru lana. Oh Rasulullah, why didn't you ask Allah to give us victory? What was the response of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sat straight and his face turned red. And that would happen to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he would become angry. And then he said, كَانَ يُؤْتَى بِمَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ فَيُنْشَرْ بِمِنْشَارِ الْحَدِيدِ مَا بَيْنَ لَحْمِهِ وَعَصَبِهِ وَعَظْمِهِ فَلَا يَرُدَّهُ ذَلِكَ عَنْ دِينِهِ وَكَانَ يُؤْتَى بِأَحَدِهِمْ فَيُوضَعُ الْمِنْشَارَ عَلَى مَفْرَقْ رَأْسِهِ فَيُشَقُّ نِصْفَيْنِ فَلَا يَدَعُ دِينَهُ وَلِيُتَمَّنَّ اللَّهُ هَذَا الْأَمْرَ حَتَّى يَصِيرَ الرَّاكِبُ مِنْ صَنَعَاءَ إِلَى حَضْرَمُوتَ لَا يَخَافُ إِلَّا اللَّهَ وَالذِّئْبَ عَلَى غَنَمِهِ. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a believer among those who were before you used to be combed with iron combs that would separate the flesh and nerves from their bones. So you'd have iron combs and they would comb the flesh off their bones. But they would never desert their religion. And they would bring one of them and place a saw on top of their heads. And they would be cut into two halves. And yet they would never give up their religion. In the name of Allah, Allah will give His religion victory until a traveler will go from Sana'a all the way to Hadramaut, fearing no one but Allah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
This program has been sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet.